It took only days for international incidents to alter the focus of the U.S. presidential campaign. The terror attacks in Paris created a sharp divide in U.S. politics, and there's sure to be reaction to today's attack and hostage-taking in a Radisson hotel in Mali. There's been heated debate on the campaign trail and heated debate between Capitol Hill and the White House over whether to tighten immigration policy for Syrians coming to the U.S. On Beacon Hill, even Governor Baker has weighed in. To talk about all this, we're joined this morning by our political team, Republican strategist Todd Domke and Democratic strategist Dan Payne. Good morning to you, Todd Domke.
Good morning, Bob.
And good morning to you, Dan Payne.
Nice to see you, Bob.
You know, even before today's attack in Mali, without question, the focus of the presidential campaign shifted since the attack in Paris 1 week ago today. Big picture, if we can start that way, logic might say the GOP establishment candidates might rise given these international events over the GOP frontrunners, Donald Trump and Ben Carson. And on the Democratic side, logic might say that Hillary Clinton, with all her international experience, would continue to solidify her lead. But is it playing out this way? And Todd, why don't you start with the GOP field?
Well, I hate to use the word logic when describing what's going on the Republican side at this point, but so far, foreign policy and military issues have dominated what the candidates are talking about, but it hasn't translated yet in polling in terms of changing the dynamic of the race. There's more news coverage for candidates like Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. Donald Trump and Ben Carson, the two front runners, you know, not so much. But we have to wait probably for the next debate to see if the contrast between candidates changes things. You know, who has the foreign policy knowledge and the temperament of a wartime commander-in-chief versus those who only have a superficial understanding of military issues?
Dan Payne.
Well, any foreign policy issue favors Hillary Clinton because of her unique tenure as Secretary of State and her greater understanding of international affairs. And this was borne out in a focus group of undecided Iowa voters that was done after the last debate. She was the hands-down winner among undecideds. They saw her as the candidate best able to deal with the crises that we are in.
Let me come back to Donald Trump, if I might, for a minute. He was in Worcester this week, as we all know, drew thousands to his event there. And according to people who were there, it just doesn't seem to matter to his supporters, who are in the solid, say, 22% to 25% range, that he has little experience in international affairs. They just love him.
Right. Trump supporters have remained surprisingly loyal. Some would say blindly loyal, since even when he seems unhinged, like in his rant in Iowa, they still view him as the celebrity leader we need. So right now, Trump has the advantage of time on his side. He just needs to continue to dominate news coverage for a few more months until Iowa.
Yeah, I think the Republican Party better get used to the idea that Donald Trump is now the favorite to be the nominee. His numbers, while they're in the mid-20s, they're not anywhere near a majority, but with a field this big, that's very unlikely anyway. But he's going to be a major factor in the primaries as we go forward.
I think, though, Donald Trump still has to be worried about Marco Rubio rising in the polls. Perhaps Trump needs Ben Carson, who is still in second place, to remain a strong second, to not collapse. Because Rubio now is in third place in most polls. He's second in at least six states. So he is a threat to Trump.
Dan, back to Hillary Clinton. There are some who say that her experience as Secretary of State will cut in both directions. It'll be a positive, but it'll be a negative as well with some voters if the focus of the race over the next few months and into the campaign next year focuses on terrorism and security issues, because she has a lot of critics on those issues.
Yeah, but she still is the only Democrat who has experience in this realm. And that's not going to change. Bernie Sanders is trying hard to be relevant, talking about his plan to deal with ISIS, which is perfectly fine, but he has no experience to back it up.
I agree with Dan that short term, at least, it's a positive for Hillary Clinton against Bernie Sanders. Sanders just doesn't seem prepared to be the next commander in chief. But in the general election, I agree that the Republican nominee will make the case that Obama-Clinton policies have left the world in worse shape on Syria, Libya, Iraq, Egypt, Yemen, Somalia, Iran, Russia. And I don't know what she can plausibly argue that she's achieved as Secretary of State that made the world a safer place. So she won't want to sound like she'll be the third term for Obama's foreign policy. She can't delete her record, so I think she'll try to emphasize domestic issues instead.
Let me move away from the presidential campaign to ask a question or two that are more local. Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch and Bill Keating joined 45 other Democrats in supporting a Republican-backed bill to require a more thorough screening of immigrants to this country from Iraq and Syria. Governor Baker joined other Republican governors in pushing back against refugee resettlement plans in the process. Baker is frequently seen as a bit out of step with his party, but not on this issue. Are there political risks for him on this issue, Todd Domke?
Yes, there are risks because it's so controversial. I don't think his initial answer that he wanted federal screening tightened up for Syrian refugees was meant to be leading the way nationally on this issue. I think when he first answered, he was just trying to take a wait-and-see kind of position, like he did on the question of whether to support a Boston Olympics. But his pronouncement raised a serious question about public safety and national security and became very political quickly. And yesterday, Baker was probably unhappy when he heard that Donald Trump, campaigning in Worcester, endorsed his position. That's not an endorsement Baker would put in TV spots when he runs for re-election.
Well, some of the liberal gloss on Governor Baker will wear off as a result of his somewhat hawkish positions. Those of the liberal persuasion have given him a pass up till now. But my guess is, in the meantime, the rest of the electorate will probably say he stands where we'd like him to be, but they have no power. Governors have no power on this. This is all symbolic. This is a federal matter.
So then both of you expect national security and terrorism to dominate the political talk locally and certainly nationally for the coming weeks, Dan?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is with the new attack in Mali. This is going to be on the front pages and on the cable news networks, solid. It's going to be hard to avoid terrorism as a topic.
That's right. The TV networks have turned into all terrorism all the time, and there's just so much fear out there. It might have created temporarily paralysis in politics, but at some point people will ask themselves, who do we really want as our next commander-in-chief?
Republican Todd Domke, thank you.
Good to be with you.
Democrat Dan Payne, thank you.
You're welcome, Bob.